We're in the middle of Parakeh, we're towards the end. We're in the middle of the pasuk of, let's just review just outside quickly your base. Just review the idea. All of my greatness, all of the gedulos mentioned pasuk base, the fact that I was invited exclusively to appear with the king at the party yesterday and the party tomorrow, and all of the honor and prestige is not worth anything to me when I see this one little Jew, when I see that he refuses to bow down before him. Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So I just want to show you one more idea, one more word. Chazal say, where does it come from? Where does it come from, this idea that Haman can have everything you can possibly want, more, and if he just, and if there's one little thing that he does not get, he has a meltdown. So the truth is, it comes from Adam Harishon and the Chet Eitz Hadas. Hashem put Adam Harishon Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, there was everything you can possibly want, with no ands, ifs, and buts. And Hashem said, just from the Eitz Hadas Toivara, that's the only thing I ask you, please do not eat. And it goes to show human nature that when there's one thing that Hashem says not to do, it's precisely that thing which the Yetzer Hara attacks and demands that you enjoy. It is for this reason Chazal tell us, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where do we know Haman from min haTorah? Hamin ho'etz, which is the pasuk of the Eitz Hadas, and the word Hamin are the same letters. Are the same letters as, and the letters Hanin are the same letters as Homon, which teach us that why the Chazal, what's the Hashkocha Pratis that Homon is found in reference to the Eitz Hadas, because they share exactly the same Yisod. The Eitz Hadas was the only thing that Adam was not allowed to eat, where Adam had everything you can possibly want, but that one little thing he could not eat is what drove him insane to eat the nichshol. So too, Haman had everything he can possibly want. The one little Jew who refused to bow down, that is something which he could not deal with. He had a meltdown, and it led to his downfall. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yudal. The solution to your problem, Haman, is as follows. You should prepare for yourself, Yasu. Now, by the way, the Yasu is Lashon Rabim. Yasu is Lashon Rabim. It's they. They shall prepare for you in Eitz. You, Haman, it's not Lefi Kavoidai, such a great person, such a person of prestige and of honor, that you yourself should go and get your hands dirty and cut down a tree, or we'll see in a moment, or demolish your palace, or ask one of your sons, Parshandasa, who was a governor near Ararat, and ask him to bring for you a piece of wood from the Teva. It's not lefik for the Yasu. Let other people just give the command, and your servants will bring a wood from wherever it's located, gavoa, that is a high chamishamama, uva boker, and in the morning, emor la melech, early in the morning, you say to the king, ask the king permission to hang the yislu es Mordechai, I love to hang Mordechai, I love, and then uva melech on shesimeh, then you'll be able to attend the party sameach, period. Vayitav hadavar b'yenei lefnei haman vayasu. It's very interesting that the pasuk over here, this is one of the pasuk. You would expect the words vayitav hadavar lefnei hamelech vayasu, it's to be a separate pasuk, but yet it's part of this very long run on pasuk. Okay, now let's now, before we, what? Okay, now we're going to discuss where exactly got it from. Before we see Rashi and the very, very long targum, but it says here, Vayaso Eitz, he himself did it. Haman thought it was such a great idea, he was not willing to wait for Yaasu. They said to him, Yaasu, let it be done on your behalf. It's not Lefi Kavodo for you to do it. Haman says, I'm in such a rush, the idea is so brilliant. Vayas, he himself went to the effort of taking this piece of wood to prepare for Haman. Now, before we see it, from Mordechai, let's see first Rashi, Pasuk Yudalit. Rashi, there is no Rashi.
Which
Perek? Perek Hey, Pasuk, Yudah, the last Pasuk in the Perek. Okay, so let's go through the Targum the best that we can. Okay, it's a very long Targum. And like as I told you all the time, I do not know the translation of all the words, but we'll just try to get the basic idea. And help me along as we go through, help me along to get the if you know some of the words. Vamaras le Zeresh intese, Zeresh, his wife, notice here, for whatever reason, the name Rishi'ah is omitted. I think that's a very curious observation. Why is it that in the first time her main name is mentioned, we called her the Zeresh the Rishi'ah, the wicked one? Here, we're not calling her wicked anymore. Maybe because since now this idea is going to be used against Haman, all of a sudden she's not so bad. Since this piece of wood, this idea will be used against her own husband, I don't know, but that's what it says over here. Zeresh into say his wife, all of his friends, all of his oyavav, in Shapir Beinach, if it's good in your eyes, name me kadamach milsa l'chada, and let us discuss, let us say before you one matter. Ma dinade le l'murchai Yehuda'a, what to do? Let us discuss with you this matter. What to do with Mordechai the Jew? Im huchad min tzadikaya de ispiriu ba'alma. If he is really from the tzadikim, if Mordechai, we don't really know if Mordechai is a tzadik. Maybe he's just for show. But if it's true that Mordechai is indeed from the tzadikim that have been created from that exists in the world, then you have to realize, Haman, you have a very big problem on your hands. It's not going to be so easy to succeed in bringing about his downfall, because we can pull out the history books and we can see that throughout history, tzaddikim do not fall. Now he goes through this long ibechab. What can we do with him? Maybe we can recommend that you execute him through the sword. And indeed, this was the death of choice for a person who was moired b'malchus. Traditionally, a moired b'malchus is decapitated. So Mordechai refuses to bow. He's moired b'malchus. You are second to the king. And therefore, we should take a sword and decapitate him. It's not going to work. You know why? E b'charba niktol yosei kvar isapech charba v'sis rimei This is Rime Alana.
The sword will turn and it'll go on us.
Now what?
Means it'll occur.
It'll occur Alana. Now why? Why is that so? Why should that be so?
If he's a tzaddik.
If he's a tzaddik, the sword will not.
What's the source? But what's the source for that? I don't know. But what's the source for that? Okay, everything else is going to show. Let's go a little further, then we'll come. Maybe we'll try to come back. We'll look further.
Because in the past, when they tried a sword on someone else,
right,
it didn't work. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to.
So you have an example. There is an example of where it was Yoshua. Okay, I don't know. There's a pasuk. I don't know. Let's go a little bit further. Maybe we'll come back to this. Let's see. Nehav yosei liraguma. Maybe we can execute him through stoning. We'll throw stones upon his body. It's not going to kvar ragim David Goliath pilishto. So you see, it's not going to, because Goliath, David succeeded in throwing stones on Goliath. So what do you see and kill him? So what do you see? You see that when there's a dispute between a tzaddik and a rasha, basically they're telling over here, if Mordechai is really a tzaddik and you are not on that exalted level and you want to take him down, we know that a tzaddik is bulletproof, is stone proof. A tzaddik is not subject to being killed by stone, because David, when he went up against Goliath, David was the one who succeeded in throwing stones against, a slingshot against Goliath, and David succeeded. So from this we can learn that with regard to death by stone, the tzaddik will prevail, not the rasha. Next, Goliath plishtoi, the im besorah din chosha, near me yosei, we want a sheath of copper, nechoshes of copper, in other words, a sword. If we want to go take a sword and use a sword against him, right, nechoshes is a copper sword, a basara is a sword, a blade, near me yosei, kvar baze menashe unifik mine, Menashe was put into a dungeon. Maybe it means Besorah din Chosha.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know what this.
Put it in a box.
In a box? What's nechasha? A copper? A hot box?
Yeah.
A hot box? Okay. So whatever it says about Menashe, and it was misspelled. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to live. So we see that Menashe, when he did tshuva, even though Menashe is one of the kings of Chazal, say ein lechilek olam haba, but according to one opinion, he did tshuva, and if he did do tshuva, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu would listen to his prayers, and he escaped from this besara din chasha. Okay, this near me yasek. He was put in this copper box, he came forth. Nizrod Yosei Liyama, Rabba, let's throw him into the sea, into the Yam. Kvar Bizoune Bnei Yisrael Va'avur Begava, it's split. Bizoune means it's split. Maybe we should go, we should throw him to the sea, we should take Mordechai and we should drown him. It's not going to work because Klal Yisrael, they were speared from the Kriyas Yam, so if they came out of the sea. Nirme Yosei Lagoy Atunura, Yikid Ta, put him into a furnace, a kiln, we'll burn him. Kvar the Akroi Hananya Mishlovazaryu Nefakumi Mingave, they were already uprooted, Hananya Mishlovazaryu, they were thrown into a Kivshano H and they came out. So this not also got knocked out. So far, stoning is not going to work, putting him into a hot box is not going to work, putting him into the water is not going to work, and putting him into a fire is not going to work. Nishreme Yosei Lagoiv Ar Yevosa, put him into a den of lions, Kvar Lo Chabilu Ar Yevosa Bidonil, Kad Chai. He lived. We see that Daniel was put into the Goyva Royas and he came out alive. This Shemei Yosei Kodam Kalbin, put him in front of dogs. Kvar is to some pum kalbin be aro de mitzrayim al b'nei Yisrael ulchol b'nei Yisrael ayefatz kelev l'shoinai. If we're going to throw him to dogs, it's also not going to work because we see that when the Jews, they came out of Mitzrayim, the dogs were silent. L'madbira nigle Yosei, let's throw him into a desert with starvation, dehydration, exile into a desert. Kvar b'midbara nifishu, they went forth usigiu and they survived. The Jewish people survived in the desert. Ma'od kotol niktol yosei veheda misa tisavile. What means of death is there left to do to him? Nirme yosei lebeis asirei. Maybe we should put him in prison. We should put him into a dungeon. Now this sounds something similar to what we said about Menashe. Kvar min beis asirei amlichu liyosef. They put Yosef in a prison, in a dungeon, and he became the king. So next case, sakina nishreme al salvarei. We should put a knife to his neck. Kvar havei isapich sakina miilavei di Yitzchok. The knife was put to Yitzchok, the Akedah, and he survived. He came out alive from the Akedah. Aine naver v'nishpoik yosei v'nok kimo diktal l'shimshon. Let's go and blind him. Aine naver v'nishpoik yosei yiktal. Okay, I'm not sure how this all this means, but basically over here he is kimo diktal l'shimshon.
Let's
blind him. It's not going to work because Shimshon, he took down puranusei digavro chadein lo yad inon ma. But it didn't work. It didn't work because Shimshon, even though he was blind, he didn't get out of it. He died. Thomas Navshi and Plishtim. He took down the house. He took down the house, and everyone, they all died. So basically, we've gone through every form of death. Now, I think, therefore, what it means, now that we've gone through all these forms of death, I think that what it means in the beginning is a Hakdama. When we started off at Ayeto, I don't know what it means. That was a Hakdama, that whatever type of death we're going to do to him, it's going to come back against us. It's not going to work. And then we go and we illustrate, we give many different examples where we find that different types of attempts to kill a person, like a Klal Yisrael, did not succeed. So the only thing, now this is a fascinating idea, the only thing left to do is to hang him up in the air. Because we have no, until this point in time in history, there was no event, it never happened, where a tzaddik was condemned to hanging and survived. We don't find such a thing. Therefore, this was the advice of Zeresh and the Chol Oy Havav. Until history, we never find such a thing of hanging a person coming out alive. So here we go. So elabat saliva rabba isavele. Let us make a saliva. The gallows. The al baba de baise. On the gate, the baise of the house. De me yish de pech koimose. And they will the height shall be I don't know not exactly what this means, but it means the gate of the house. D'mei yishtepech koi masei, its height should be positioned. Tishremei al saliva. Let's hang him up on this post, on this piece of wood. V'yechezun yosei kol yehudoei v'chol chavroi urechimo shemaya v'yara kechado, like one. Tzaisin al tzliva, hanging on this piece of wood. The askin Haman le Mordechai, that Haman will prepare for Mordechai to vole tzafra. I think it means early in the morning. The al kodam malka, ushal you should go to before the king early in the morning. The al and ushal minay and asking permission al tzliva hadein b'shaita hahi. Law shalach manoi v'lo for period.
No,
period. Period. Fine. I'll sleep all day. Period. Okay. So far, hang him. So basically, the advice is you should go and you should take this very large piece of wood, 50 amas tall, and you should put it by the gate, the gate of the house. Whose house? Okay, it's not clear of your house, of Mordechai's house, and everyone in Klal Yisrael will see that Haman and Mordechai is being hung, and obviously they will be afraid. Leman Yishru v'Yiron v'lo Yizidun Od. That was his kavana. B'shaita hahi, at that very moment, lo shalach manoi, he did not take off his clothing. Haman, he slept with, he did not put on his pajamas. He went home, he kept his clothing on because he was so excited, he's going to go early in the morning, he doesn't even want to waste one moment. V'lo shechav Haman bar hamdoso, he did not go to sleep, ad azal, until he went. V'aisei yos nagorayo, yos kaitzohi nagraya. He brought out the carpenters. He went and he summons the carpenters, the people who cut the ovdin tzliva. They should make for him the gallows, the kaitzohe, and they should cut the sakin the parzel. And I guess he went also to the smith, blacksmith. They should cut from him a sakin the parzel of iron axe. Uvenoy Haman, the tools. They need all the implements, all the tools in order to properly cut down and prepare the gallows. Yeah. It was a big deal. Uvenoy Haman the doitzin, the chodion, and was very happy. So Haman built it. The chodion, and I think he was very happy. The zeresh,
it is
his wife. Me nagda b'chindin im Haman Ushia was. She's playing the harp. The harp. Say this you don't read about this part of the story. No, that they were what?
She's a musician.
Yeah. Yeah,
she was so excited.
Don't you say every the weddings they see all these women musicians? so she was a celebrating, he was happy and she was playing the harp. The Amar Agrol Nagore, and he said, I'm gonna give payment. Agra means reward to the carpenters, Ano Yohiv. I'm going to prepare food for the people who are going to. I'm going to prepare food and give money to the people that are going to assist me in preparing the gallows. Al tzliva hadein b'shata period. Hadein period. B'shata at that moment, come Haman Rishia, the evil one, lim nasia, to test it. Okay, so far...
You wanted to test it.
I want to make sure that it really works. He tests the gallows. So he spent the entire night, he hired people, and they were playing musical instruments, and he was serving food. He was serving food for the craftsmen, and now Haman made a rehearsal, and he used himself, he put his own neck into the noose, and he wanted to see, will it really work? Okay, so he went then, come Hodem Rishia, lim nasia, tzaliva, to test out the gallows, with his own height. He used himself as a sample to test. What happened at this moment in time? Nafka baskol mishmei meroma, a baskol went forth from heaven, the amaras lay, and the king said, Yo'ei Haman Rishia. It's beautiful, Haman. This rehearsal is beautiful.
It's fitting.
It shouldn't just be a rehearsal. You, in fact, should be the one that should be hung from these gallows. V'loch, and to you, shafar. It's pleasing, bar Hamdasa, the son of Hamdasa. U shafar piskam kodam Haman. Fine, now, fine, period. Now we go with the pasuk concludes. So that's what the Baas Kol said. Did he hear the Baas Kol? I don't know. But this was what the Baas Kol, not everyone hears the Baas Kol. That's an interesting concept in the halacha, that when Hashem sends forth the Baas Kol, the only one that hears the Baas Kol is the one that's meant to hear the Baas Kol. Palman, obviously, if he would have heard the Baas Kol, I would imagine he would change his mind. But he obviously did not hear the Baas Kol. Next, Ushefar Piskama Kodam Haman. This idea was pleasing before Haman. Va'avat Saliva Ligarmei. He made the gallows for himself. Tahava min Yoma de Zamnas Esther. From the day that Esther invited Yos Haman l'Sherusa, on the day when Esther invited Haman to the party, it's Aku b'nei Yisrael va'Amin Dein l'Dein. Now he's going on to a new theme now. Now the Targum is going into the things that the Jewish people, when they were fasting, they said to themselves, what is going on over here? We thought for 5 years we have nothing to worry about because we have a sister. We have a queen in the palace that's going always to seek our benefit. And look what's going on here. We're now in a very difficult time. It's an Eitz Tzar. We're all fasting through Mordechai. And she goes and she's making a party to celebrate together with Haman. So the Jewish people were extremely disturbed and they increased in tefillah. So one more time over here. Min yoma de zanas, from the day. De zanas Esther yos Haman l'sherusa, from the day before. When Esther invited Haman to the party. Is oku b'nei Yisrael. They were disturbed. The Jewish people. The Amrin, and they said, Dein l'dein, and they said to each other, Hadein misan meinon b'chol yoma v'yoma. Is it true, misan meinon b'chol yoma v'yoma, de sive Esther min malka, de niklete?
That you should ask the king to be killed? That no.
Misan, I don't know what the word misan meinon means.
We're davening.
Chodein misaneinan b'chol yom v'yom de tispe estem in malka de niklete v'hi mizamna leil l'sherusa.
No, we're davening every day that Esther the malka should save us from being killed.
Should save us. And v'hi mizamna leil l'sherusa, and she's making a party. She's making a party. So what's going on here? How could it possibly be? We've been fooled. We've been fooled into thinking that she's going to help us, and instead she is causing us harm. At that moment, when they came to this realization, what did they do? Shefachu de Beis Yaakov kulon libhon. They poured out their heart to Hashem in prayer. The Isrechitzu al Avuhon. They relied upon Avuhon di Bishmai, upon their Father in heaven, Hashem v'chein omen kodomo. And here is what they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ane yoson, ane, answer us Hashem. Kol mi ikayo. Hey, eich the solin eino, just like the solin eine avdo limorehon, just like, I think it means, I don't know the exact translation, but just like a servant lifts up his eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to his master, like, so that's really what it means over here. The solin eine avdo limorehon, veheich eine ams, like a female servant, a maid servant, in the rebone taught to a mistress. Kedain, likewise, Talion einono Allah. Our eyes, they depend upon you. They look up to you. Ad until idon, to the moment the siskelei, you will reveal yourself, Hashem. The sisbrok yosano, and you will redeem us. The ha sana uve el devava, because our enemy, sana means the sin, and our enemy uve el devava, the one who is the person who quarrels. A baba means to fight. Negadef, he is cursing, he is blaspheming. The omar, and he's saying, mon inun yehudoi, who are the Jews? He's saying the Jews are not our enemy. He's making a claim that the Jews are not worth anything. They have no hope, and he's going to destroy them. Therefore, we beg of you, Hashem, Shema b'kal tzal lo yishon, listen to the sound of our prayer, va'avad bo ushon, and fulfill our prayer. Period. Be'belelya mitul di b'chol zimna. At that very night, mitul. Mitul di b'chol zimna, di ferak yason min bale divavehon. Okay, I'm not sure what this means. So any suggestions? Babel Elia, that night, mitul Mitul di b'chol zimra di ferak yasod min bale de vaveihon. Belelia pirog yasod mi paro. I think just like you saved us at night. You saved us at night from all of our enemies.
No, he did that night there. He listened to their prayers that night. Just like every other time,
he listened to their prayers. Like Paro, Vahi Bachatzi Halayla, and like Sancheriv, when all of the servants they died in battle. Umisancheriv, min kol the kamu alayhon, for all of the enemies which came upon them. Okay, like I told you, I just can know the gist. I don't have a translation, but the basic idea over here was we learned a few interesting things. We learned. Let's review the yisodas. The first yisod is from this targum is it's an incredible chiddush. Is that there was a long discussion between the servants and Haman, what form of execution? They went through Jewish history. Every form of execution that was known, the Jews had the koyach to survive. The only thing that was not yet successful for the Jewish people yet was hanging. Hanging was the only thing. That's the first chiddush. After going through all the different tzaddikim who survived in all the different ways. Okay, now the next chiddush is that Haman prepared the gallows immediately that night with mitoch simcha. He made a party. He gave out money, overtime for the workers. He to the craftsmen to prepare the tools, to the people to cut down the wood. And they were playing musical instruments. His wife was playing musical instruments. That's the second chiddush. The third chiddush is that Esther, when the Jewish people saw what was going on, that Esther was inviting Haman to a party, they despaired. How could it be that Esther, our sister, who was there in the palace to help us, to save us, to serve as our advocate, is now celebrating with Haman? She made a party, invited Haman, is making another party to invite Haman. We thought Esther was on our side. She's going to help us. What?
Is that clear that you're saying that the Jews knew that Esther was...
Yes, according to the Targum... there is a medrash that says that one of the major miracles in this time was there was not even one Jew who snitched and revealed to Achashverosh that Esther indeed is Jewish. All of the Jews knew it, but they were able to keep their mouths shut. That is the ultimate miracle of Purim. Esther, one of the puzzles says that Esther did not reveal. It wasn't only that she did not reveal. No one told the secret over to Achashverosh. But they always knew, they always had hope that since she is in a good position, she will help us. The third major chiddush of the Targum is that she deliberately, according to one interpretation, that's what we learned in the Gemara, the 13 reasons the Gemara gave why Esther, what Esther did exactly, we learned 12 reasons. But with the Marshal, the 30th reason, but the 12 reasons, one of the 12 reasons of the Gemara is because she did not want the Jewish people to rely upon her. She wanted them to be mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it worked. When they saw that she's making a party, they realized what is going on, something over here is wrong. The only one that we can rely upon is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will mispal, and they will soymich on the Zuchus Ovois. And not just the Zuchus Ovois, and Hashem listened to them on this night, just like Hashem listened on this night. It was the night of Pesach. Balayilahu noted Hashnas HaMelech. It was the night of Lel Pesach, just like Hashem listened to Klal Yisrael on the night of Pesach Mitzrayim of Vayibachatzi Halayla, and just like Hashem listened to Klal Yisrael by Sancheriv, when Sancheriv was about to destroy Yerushalayim, it was also Lel Pesach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved. In fact, there are more instances, and that's the Piyut Vayibachatzi Halayla on the night of Pesach, in the Haggadah, the Piyut Vayibachatzi Halayla enumerates about 5, 6, 7, and remember all the different events where HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the Tefillos of Klal Yisrael on the night of Pesach. Okay, now this piece of wood that was Gavoa Chamishim Amah. So you mentioned, where did it come from? It came from, the most popular interpretation was that this came from the Teva. And where the Teva came to rest on Hore Ararat. Parshandasa, he was the first one listed of the Aseres B'nei Haman. Parshandasa was the governor in the region of Ararat, so he had access to bring this beam, which was 50 amos tall. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this beam to remain so long? It was a constant reminder to the world that if you don't shape up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the world again. There are two things the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left over in this world to serve as a reminder for us. Number one, the Teva. Number two, the Nitziv Melach. the Netziv Melach was a Zecher for Sodom v'Amora. Now you would think Sodom v'Amora is itself the Zecher, but the thing is there's nothing left of Sodom v'Amora. Sodom v'Amora was obliterated, there's no Zecher, it was nuked, it doesn't exist. So what then became the Zecher that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy evil people? The Netziv Melach of Eshes Lot, the wife of Lot, she turned back to look at the people of Sodom. There is today a nuclear reactor, that's where they have it?
No,
it's Dimona, that's in the name.
Maybe you're revealing secret intelligence that we're not entitled to know. Okay.
Now we don't know where these things are.
We don't know where they are. We don't know where. We don't. The Teva. Now, according to scientists, it is impossible. There's no way a piece of wood is a product of the earth. It's a product of the earth. There is no way Al Derech HaTeva wood can last so long. Wood decomposes. You have a wooden house, right? Okay, our homes say are made from wood. What?
It's case of nice. Yeah.
Petrified already. It's petrified wood.
On top of a mountain.
It can last forever?
All the time. Well,
no, because there's constantly ice on that mountain.
Okay. They say it's one of these high mountains.
They claim there are always exhibitions.
Right.
There are exhibitions in Turkey where it is, and they go, they think. No one ever found anything conclusive. No one in modern times found anything conclusive. But years ago, I was very fascinated by this, and I looked into it, and I read somewhere is that Al Derech HaTeva wood cannot last 1,000 years. It doesn't exist. You have a piece of wood. Piece of wood. Wood decomposes. It turns into dust. It doesn't turn into dust in one day, not in 100 years, but over 1,000 years being left out in the environment, outdoors. It's not possible for a piece of wood to remain that long.
This cut piece of wood.
What?
Fine.
So the teva was alive as a tree. So we have it in California.
Redwood.
The redwoods are cold. In California, they're like 1,000 years old. So those are 1,000 years old.
But a beam.
This was cut boards. So cut boards. So al derech hateva. It's very far fetched to think that we today can go to Hori, we can find Hori Ararat, and we can find where the Teva is. So you'll say maybe that the air, the quality of the air on such a high elevation, it's a different type of air, and therefore it's possible for the wood to last so long. It's very, very far fetched. But yet, it appears that at this point in time, okay, this event took place how long ago? About almost 2,500 years ago, this event took place. And it says that 2,500 years ago, according to Chazal, they went to Ararat, and then from that moment going backwards must have been about 1,000 years. I don't know, 2,500, but maybe you're right. I don't know.
It's very cold.
So today, so now we're going back. We're going back 5,000 years. You're going to find a piece of wood from 5,000 years. It's not likely. You're going to find today. What?
It's full of ice.
Okay, so maybe it's okay, but here it's also a miracle. Even to say that at this point in time, the same way that scientists say today, that the thing you're going to find the Teva today, 5,000 years later, is a little bit, Al Derech HaTeva is not very likely. So go back 2,500 years ago, for them to go back another 2,500 years ago is also not very likely. You can find the Teva. Alright, so you have to come on to all of these different solutions to say that you can really find the Teva. Maybe that would accelerate its decomposition. Maybe these... Okay, but whatever it is, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mal and derech HaTeva, he preserved two things in this world for Klal Yisrael to learn from, to serve as a constant reminder that if you don't shape up, ship out. Teva is a ship. Teva is a ship. You don't. It's the Teva, and it is the Netziv Melach. Haman. The irony is that Haman took the object, which was the reminder of Atishaches Kol Aretz, of corruption, of wickedness, of what wickedness, and that object itself he used to enhance his own agenda, of genocide. Mordechai's execution was going to serve as the marshal for the Haskalah. It was like the Kristallnacht of what he was planning to do. That's what it was. I'm going to take the Jew, the leader of the Jewish people, I'm going to put him on a pole that's 50 amos tall. The whole world's going to see. That's exactly what it says in the Targum. It's going to, the reason why it was 50 amos tall was that the whole world should see, all the Jews should see, and their heart should melt, and they should know what's coming to them next. And the Farshim also explained, it says in the Nashim, is this will also serve as encouragement for the Goyim, don't be afraid to carry out my plan. Look, just like I killed Mordechai, who was the leader of the Jewish people, so you also should participate and participate in genocide and wiping out the Jewish people. And what did he use? He used the object which was Hashem's reminder, don't do this. Don't behave in a corrupt way. That the earth, the words the Torah used described is Bayar Hashem Kirabos Kates called Bosa Bolifa Naikin Mola Haaretz Chamas. The Hinani Mashchit Samin Aretz. Chamas is violence. And the Chazal, and this violence, who is the man of violence? Who is the Amalek? Amalek is, what's the expression? Reishis Goy Amalek. Vachlis Ade Oved. But there's an expression that uses, there are more psukim which describe Esav. Esav's koyach is the sword, is violence. Where is that pasuk?
That's in
Talmud. Okay. So this, the essence of Esav is a man of chamas. He was oyef. He came from the sade. Haliteni na min ha'adayim ha'adayim ki oyef anochi. What was he oyef from? He killed Nimrod. He was a murderer. He's a violent man. This is the essence. The marble came because of chamas, and here he's using the object, which is a mashal, not to commit crimes of chamas, and that's exactly what he's using here to carry out his plan. So it's ironic. It's ironic that this is a subject that he bedafka would select. Now there are other midrash, not necessarily a contradiction. They say that Haman was extremely wealthy, Reiv Ashrei. And he had in his own house beams that were 50 amos tall. The average person lives in small little apartments. No one has beams that are 50 amos tall, has tall ceilings, 100 feet. It's a 10-story building. Who was the one that could afford to purchase, to live in such luxury? Haman. So Haman, he demolished his own home. His own home in order, in excitement, to carry out his plan of hanging home and fulfilling what Zeresh Ishto. So that simply means it's inconsistent with the other Maimon Chazal that it came from the Teva. But it's not necessarily inconsistent. Maybe when he built his house, he took the beams from the Teva to build his house, and now that he wanted to hang up Haman, Hamordechai, he demolished his own private home in order to hang Haman on this gala. Okay, the fourth important chiddush of the Targum is that Haman actually practiced by a rehearsal. He tried out. He put his head in the gallows. He stood there all the way on top to see if it's how, what it's going to look like. And al tiftach pel l'satan. In fact, you know, there is such a principle in halacha that a person should not do to himself, even to demonstrate. Like personally, when we're talking about shechita, you should never put your finger to your own neck. A person should never play. To participate in some type of entertainment where you make believe that it's going to happen to you. Also, there's also a tradition that a person should never sit in a wheelchair. If a person does not need a wheelchair, you don't sit in a wheelchair. It's not, you don't want to. If you do something which is not pleasant, so in Shemayim they can, it's like a category of tiftach pel l'satan. Oh, you want to go sit in a wheelchair? You like the wheelchair? Okay, so maybe we'll bring it about that we'll work it out for you. That's exactly what Haman did. If Haman would not have demonstrated and practiced by putting his neck in the gallows, and the Baskel comes out and says, "Oh, Haman, taka, you're putting your neck in the gallows. It's fitting for you. You look very good. This will make a very nice picture." The Ated. So this added to his own downfall the fact that he demonstrated this event on himself. That's the fourth major chiddush in the Targum.
Exact measurement of the width of the teva.
Right, that's exactly. Okay. That's exactly why they filmed, because the teva, it says beferish that the width was 50 amos wide. Okay, so by let's go now. Balayla hahu nadudah shnas hamelch. On that evening, it was the night of Pesach. We had a discussion before. When exactly, which night was it? Was it the first night of Pesach? Was it the second night of Pesach? According to Rashi, it had to be the second night, because according to Rashi, when was the fast? The fast was 14, 15, 16. So 15 is the first night. Balayla gezuntayt. Balayla hu was the third day. Was Bayom Hashlishi. Balayla hu was the third night. That was the night when they went to the party, and Esther was still fasting. And Mordechai and Esther said to Achashverosh, I want to invite you and Haman to come again tomorrow to another party. So all of this took place on the third day. What was the third day? Well, the fast day was 14, 15, 16. This means it was the second day of Pesach. Now that is seemingly very strange, because when we associate the miracle of Purim with the night of Pesach, would we not expect it to be taking place in the first night of Pesach, which was the day Deraisa? The second night of Pesach is only Midrabanan. The only reason why we observe the second day of Pesach is because of Sfeika Deyoma. It's not because that is the primary day. So the Farshim say just the opposite. The whole essence of Purim is Torah Shebal Peh. Kimu v'kiblu. We know there's a contradiction. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael and the Har Sinai said Da'aseh v'nishma. But on the other hand, Chazal tell us Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. Hashem forced us to accept the Torah. How do we reconcile this contradiction? The answer is Torah Shebichsav. We accepted willingly Da'aseh v'nishma. But Torah Shebal Peh, we were forced to accept Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. When did Klal Yisrael accept upon themselves Torah Shebal Peh willingly? At the time of Purim. Ahavas Hanes, due to the love of the miracle, the recognition that we are the Am HaNifcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us in Golus, Klal Yisrael, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'alzaram, so Chazal Darsh, Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They fulfilled what they accepted in the past. What did they accept in the past? Torah Shebal Peh. But they only accepted it against their will. Kofa aleihem har kegigis. Hashem put upon them a mountain and told them, if you're not going to accept the Torah, I'm going to bring about your death at this moment in time. But now, at the time of Purim, was Kibu. The second day, this that we observe, Sveik of the Yoma, a second day, is purely a din of Torah Shebal Peh. This is all given over to the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon have instructed us that we do not know when is Yom Tov. So therefore, Sveika D'Yoma, we observe a second day. Even in times of Golus, when there are no, when we are, we know the calendar. Minig avosenu biyodenu. This concept that we still continue to observe a second day of Yom Tov in Golus, even though we are experts in the calendar day, in the establishment of the calendar, we know exactly the calendar, is one of the greatest fulfillments of tradition of minog, and minog is all connected to the Rabbanon. And all connected to right. So even though, but it's al ha'aset. It's still a rabbinic takana. However you look at it, even though it's true that at that point in time, the Umakadish was in Sufik Mamish, it was in Sufik Mamish. But still, the entire concept of a second day, and to follow all the laws is a takon of the Rabbanon. The din of Sveika D'Yom. Okay, I don't have the exact words. We have to just in a general concept. The second day of Yom Tov is a rabbinic enactment. Certainly, it's a rabbinic enactment b'zman hazeh. There's no question about it. B'zman hazeh, because we are b'kimikvi diarchi, and it takes with it the flavor of tradition. Tradition of minik avosenu biyodenu. It's an emuna in chachamim, and it's precisely therefore that the miracle of Purim took place on the second night of Pesach, not the first night of Pesach. The second day of Pesach is a derabbanan. It's not a deraisa. The first night of Pesach, we mekayim all the mitzvahs deraisa. The second night, it's only mitzvah of the yola. It's only derabbanan. It's the time of, and what is Purim? Purim is the miracle of Golos. Man, what is Purim? Purim represents the concept that Klal Yisrael survives in Golos. Hashem protects Klal Yisrael even in times of Golos, even when we don't have open miracles. Hashem protects Klal Yisrael through hidden miracles. So Golos, and what is and that only comes in the zechus of Emunah in Talmidei Chachamim, which relates to Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is an important point to take note. Balayla, who is the second night of Pesach, not the first night of Pesach. Even though when we write about, we read about this in the Piyutim on Lel Seder, in the Rahiba Chatzi Halayla, we all group everything together. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sancheriv, the hand writing on the wall, Baal Shetzar, all of those things, and though those things certainly took place on the first night of Pesach, the black sheep of the list of events that took place on the night of Pesach is Purim, because Purim did not take place on the first night, it took place on the second night. But since it's all one, the same concept, and in fact Purim is a theme, is a takana de Rabbanan, that's why it happens this moment in time. Okay, let's go further. He said it should be brought the Sefer HaZichronos, the book of
diary.
Of the diary, of things that happened in the past, Divrei Hayomim, the events of the previous days, V'yu Nikurim Lefnei HaMelech, and it should be read before the Melech. Let's see Rashi. Rashi begins, Nodada Shnas HaMelech. Nodada means it was disturbed. Nod means to move. Nov Nod, a wanderer. He's about to fall asleep, so sleep has overtaken him, and then the sleep is pushed away. A Malach comes and wakes him up, causes his sleep, the koyach of Shena, to be dislodged, to be pushed away. It's very interesting how the Torah, how the Pasuk describes sleep. Sleep is a bria to itself. How do you view sleep? Think about this. Let's take a step back. How do you view night? How do you view darkness? Is darkness the absence of light? Or is darkness a creation in and of itself? Yoitzer or uvoyrei choshech. Simply, we would assume that darkness is just the absence of light. But we see from the Nusach HaTfilah that there is something called a creation, a bria of darkness. Hashem forms light, but darkness is a creation. You can ask the same exact question with regard to sleep. How do doctors understand sleep? Is it that just the body shuts down? So sleep represents the, is not a buoy, it's not an entity to itself. Sleep is when the body gets tired, it falls asleep. Or do we say no, sleep is a koyach to itself. It's something positive, it's triggered. Hashem miraculously sends to a person a koyach of Shena that causes him to go into a state, to leave a state of consciousness. Now it happens to be that, well, you get tired, you fall asleep. But maybe the two are totally zebezeh. Hashem is goyzeh, there should be sleep, so Hashem causes, he hides the fact that there's sleep by person. So you see from this pasuk that sleep is a buria. Okay, this is a very deep idea. Sleep is not what the medical world will tell you. They'll tell you that sleep is just when you... What?
They won't say that. Sleep is a positive thing.
It's a good thing. No, it's a good thing. But is it a good thing that it results?
Yeah, you have REM, which sleep, you know.
Okay, so maybe so. Sleep here is a berea. Just like one would be misled to think darkness is the absence of light. A calm kamash malon. That's not so. Light is creation. Darkness is a creation. Darkness is a creation to obscure light. Hashem creates darkness. Don't think that sleep is just a necessary evil. When the body gets tired, it falls asleep. When the body wearies, tires. No. The body really can go on forever. Hashem created the human being, it can go on forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every 24-hour period injects his boirei shena. Hashem creates Shayna and puts that Shayna upon the person. It's disguised into looking that the person wearies and he just falls into a sleep. It's more than that. It's a Bria. How do you see that? You see that from this pasuk. Nodida. Nodida means it's pushed away. You only can push away something that really exists. You don't push away something that you slip into. If you have something, so you push it away. If you want to say that you wake up, it means you should be reinvigorated. You don't push away the sleep. It should say that he awoke, that he kept on awaking. Balayla hahu, does it not the shnas hamelech? It should say, I don't know the Hebrew words, but it should say that he constantly reawoke. There are two ways to describe waking up. We call it you wake up. Or you can say, in the morning, my sleep was pushed away. No one today, you have an alarm clock to wake up. You don't have an alarm clock to push away your sleep. Why? Because in our perception, sleep is not a Berea. Sleep is something that you fall into when you get tired. So when you wake up, you're returning to your natural state of being. It's not kedai to mention that sleep has been pushed away. Because sleep doesn't really exist. Sleep is just something that you slip into. It's not a Berea. I don't really know how to use the correct words. But here it's not the way he describes waking up. It describes waking up as being the sleep has been pushed away.
What's the default?
The default is being awake. There is no default. That's what we're saying. There are two things. There's a koyach of being alive, and there's a koyach of sleep. In our perception is there's a default of being awake, and when you get tired, you fall into sleep. Sleep is like the absence of light. That's our perception. If that is correct, the pasuk should say, Malailahu, the king kept on waking up again and again. The focus should be waking up. The fact the pasuk chose to describe him waking up with the term that the sleep was pushed away is an indication that the koyach of Shena is a real bria, a supernatural bria that a Kadosh Baruch Hu superimposes upon a human being. And it's disguised, of course, into us believe that it only comes when we get tired, but that's not really true. It comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to come, when we allow it to come. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Tonight, I don't want you to have Shayna. I'm not giving you the gift of Shayna. The gift of Shayna is being taken away from you on this night. Achashverosh. Vayomani said, Lahavi Yasef HaZichronos Divrei Hayavim, the book of records, V'yiv Nikrim L'Shmirei Lefnei HaMelech. Okay, now let me just tell you, before we go running, I'll tell you a very beautiful idea. Before we read the Rashi, we're in the middle of the Rashi, we'll come back to the Rashi in a moment because we're running out of time. According to the Midrash, and we're going to see this in the Targum, we'll see this in Rashi, the basic idea is, okay, there are many reasons why he could not fall asleep. One of the reasons is Achashverosh was very disturbed as to why Esther invited Haman. The plan succeeded. Esther wanted to make Achashverosh nervous. In order to put Haman in a vulnerable position, she wanted to make Achashverosh jealous of Haman. She wanted him to think that there's some type of relationship that there is between herself and Haman. Love triangle, right? This is the love triangle syndrome. She wanted to create this love triangle. There are two men seeking one woman. Each of the two men gets extremely jealous, and they basically have a duel, and the winner conquers the woman. What?
The damsel.
The damsel, that's what she's called? Okay, so that's what it's all about over here. It's a duel. She wants to create this environment. And she succeeded. He was up the entire night. That was one interpretation. Another interpretation, which is all related, is why is Esther risked her life? She risked her life to come before me. She came uninvited to the Shar HaPnimi. It's punishable by death. She risked her life. Obviously, she has something very, very important to ask. How could it be that I, with all of my intelligent agencies, do not know what this is all about? I spoke to my advisors, the CIA, NSA, and the FBI, and all the various branches of government, and no one has any clue what this is all about. How could it possibly be? There has to be someone out there in the community, in the intelligence community, that has information for me that can explain what's going on here. How come no one has come forward? Maybe it's because I'm not a grateful person. In the past, people have relayed important information, intelligence, that have been a very great benefit from, and I've not rewarded them. So let's pull out the records and let's see all the people who have revealed the secrets. The Gilui Sod, let's see, maybe I've not properly rewarded them. Now I'm going to reward them, and I'm going to give them the ultimate reward. In fact, the reward I'm going to give to a person that tells me secrets will be even greater than Haman, his honor and wealth, even greater. That's the reward. In other words, over here, this miracle now, the goal of Achashverosh, at this point in time, is to seek out the person who will reveal the secret. I'm in a vulnerable position. There's something going on I'm not aware of. I've asked my advisors. No one knows what's going on. I want a person to come forward and to be megale the sod, reveal the secret. The one that reveals their secret will be rewarded. His reward will exceed the stature of Haman. And it worked. They discovered Haman once was Megala Sod with regard to big son of Seresh.
Mordechai.
When Mordechai was Megala Sod, Mordechai was not rewarded. Mordechai was now rewarded by being granted more honor than Haman. And the proof is Haman was the one that had to lead Mordechai in the street and declare, Kach Yosel Ish Shamel Chafetz Bikaro. Now the call will go out into the world. Anyone that can reveal a secret will receive the same reward. And from this came the miracle of Purim. What do you learn from this? The miracle of Purim is all about Gilui Sod. Now we understand why we drink wine on Purim. What is Yayin? Nichnas Yayin, Yetze Sod. Yotze Sod. You drink wine. Wine has the koyach to bring out miracles. This idea of Gilui Sod is essential to the essence of Purim. What is the ultimate secret in this world? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's the ultimate secret. The whole world is one big game of hide and seek. Hashem created the world. Omar Lola Maidai. Hashem hides himself. Hashem hides himself in nature. It's not revealed publicly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And it's the goal of man. His quest in life is Gilui Sod, to reveal the big secret that there is a creator, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam that controls events behind the scenes and who has given us mitzvos and has given us a derech in life in order to succeed in this world. All of these ideas come together on Purim. The miracle began to unfold. This is the essential portion of the Megillah. B'alayilahu nodid ashnas ha-melech. When you lay in this pasuk, the Baal Kori is required to raise his voice. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the only portion that must be read on Purim to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is starting with Perek Vav, B'alayilahu nodid ashnas ha-melech. All of this starts when Achashverosh is disturbed. There is a secret out there in the world I'm not aware of, and no one wants to tell me. I have to now do something in order that these people should wake up and they should be Megaleh the Sod. And this captures, and who is the Melech? Who is the Melech? Who is the Melech a reference to? Every time it says in the Megillah the word Melech, who does it refer to? The Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially this HaMelech in this Pasuk Vav is really the mother of all Melechs in the Megillah, because it's on this, specifically on this word Melech, where the Gemara says, Nidodo Shinosoi Shel Malkoi Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he woke up. Kaviyachol. Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael are not oisim with son of Shlomokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes believe that he's sleeping. He's not paying attention to our sorrows. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a change of heart, and here is where he's going to change. So this Melech really refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it tells us over here, this whole event is, the time has come to find a person who knows how to reveal the secret. I want and I want to do things to show the world Pilush Megala Sod. This is Purim. Purim is a miracle where it has become clear to Klal Yisrael. It cannot just be a coincidence that all of these unrelated events all came and came together in a unique sequence and time to bring out the miracle of Purim. It must be that the secret is there is a creator that is working behind the scenes that controls the world. And therefore, this is what Purim is all about. Purim is the Gili wearing costumes. What's wearing a costume? You hide yourself underneath the costume. What's the secret? Who is the person hiding behind that costume? It's a mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the secret. He is hiding behind Teva. The costume, the ultimate costume is nature. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding behind nature. Nichnas Yayin Yetze Sod. You got to soften up the people a little bit to bring out the secrets. All of these things come together here in this pasuk of Gilui Sod. And let's see the Rashi. Nodesh Nas HaMelech Nes Haya. It says here that his slumber was pushed away. Nes Haya. The fact, I think Rashi, the Chazal, the reason why we're saying, as we mentioned, doesn't say he kept on reawaking. If it would say in the pasuk he kept on waking up again and again, then you can say it was just he had indigestion. He had heartburn. He had some type of stomach cramps. Couldn't Pepto Bismol. What? Pepto Bismol. So the Pepto Bismol was contaminated, and he kept on waking up in the middle of the night. Doesn't say that. That's not what it says. It says Nesayim. The fact that it says Nidodo, we focus on the sleep. The Koyach of Shena was removed from him. This is not normal. This is not normal. The Neila, it was a Nesaya. The Yesham, some say, some, it means it's not a miracle. It means that he was agitated. Something was bothering him. Yeshamim, some eslibo al shazimla Esther es Haman. What is going on? Why did Esther invite only Haman? Shema nidna inayim bo v'yahargeyu. He was paranoid. He was paranoid. Maybe there is a plot. There is a coup in down the line, they're coming to assassinate him. He was afraid. When they have a hard time falling asleep, they read before them lullabies, rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. Right? So that's what they called in. That's one on the treetop. That's very good. So they called in the sichos. They very easy. All they had to do was call me to give him a shear. He would fall asleep right away. Right? He just had to go to a daf yomi, shear would fall asleep. The sichos ad sheshinasam chayzeres. Let me tell you, they fall asleep. But I was saying to him, mitoch shenasan, liboy al haman vi Esther. I was saying to Amru, mitoch shenitan libo al haman vi Esther, because Achashverosh was paying close attention to the behavior of Haman vi Esther. Amar, he said, what in the world is going on? It is impossible. There is not a citizen in society that does not know the secret. Shalo yeda adam shahu oyhavi, one of my friends at Sosam Vigalali. Someone must know the secret. What is going on? My advisors are clueless. The Chazar v'Amar Shema. What's my technique if my advisors, my intelligent community, does not want to help me? So we have to go to the tzibur. We have to go to the citizens. We'll put up some advertisements on the bus. We'll put up on, please, anyone that knows any information, please come forward. And the way we're going to do that, the best form of advertisement is to publicly reward a person that has revealed the secret. Shema osali adam time of aloy gimaltif. I did not reward him. I failed to reward him. Ve'ein choyshashin odli. And therefore, they no longer feel it's important to reveal to me secrets. Lefichach vayam alohav yasefer hazich raynois. Okay, now there's a very long targum. A very long targum where he'll discuss again a whole bunch of chidushim, so we'll have to go leave that in Mirat Hashem for tomorrow. Okay, so we'll stop here.